Thank you for listening to Lone Star Community Radio. This program was broadcasted and recorded live from the LSCR studios in downtown Conroe, Texas. Lone Star Community Radio is supported by listeners like you. Donate and sponsor today. For more information on getting involved with Lone Star Community Radio, contact us at lscrstudios@gmail.com or visit us online at www.irlonestar.com.
Generally unstructured and open for comment. It's the Audience of One show on Conroe's 106.1 and 104.5 FM, streaming on IRLoneStar.com and available wherever you tend to get your podcasts from. On today's show, we discuss Fat Bear Week, attending an event that just doesn't live up to expectations, and the time that Winnie the Pooh had to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I am Andrew, maestro of the run sheet, next to the guy who doesn't fully understand ADHD. It's Dick. I'm a professional birther, Schisler. Maestro of the run sheet. That was hard for me to get out this time for whatever reason. I don't know, man. What's going on, bud?
Nothing much, just living life.
Living the dream, huh?
Living the dream.
It is that time of year where the Halloween decorations are out, man. I love it.
Yeah, I got my Halloween shirt on today.
I see that, a little flaming, what's that, flaming jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah, dude.
That's nice.
Yeah, you should see the back, it's pretty tight.
It's tight, bro.
Tight.
No, I like driving through the neighborhood and seeing all the decorations and stuff. And there's nothing better than seeing like someone you go, all right, that guy is really into decor and Halloween, but he also want to let you know who he's voting for with a yard sign.
Yeah.
And so there's that combination of like a Kamala Harris sign, but there's like a witch right next to it. And you're going, what are you trying to tell us?
Yeah.
Like, are you subliminally
really
saying
you
something?
Really know,
or are you really supporting? I don't know. It's always kind of funny, though.
Yeah, I guess it is the middle of October almost, and we're getting...
Yeah, getting bombarded with political ads, too. Oh, my gosh. I hate all of the political ads.
Yeah?
They're driving me nuts. The ones on TV, they're during football games and whatever. It's like, so-and-so voted for a bill that gave old people syphilis, and he laughed at it. Like...
There's certain topics I don't fully understand, like the abortion topic. So when I see an abortion ad, I'm like, are they going for it or against it?
Yeah.
What? And then like one of them was really drastic. It's like he killed our baby.
Yeah, I've seen some of them. They're
and
terrible.
I'm like, dang.
They're terrible.
It's pretty terrible.
You know what I think they need to do, though, is have candidates that are competing for our votes compete in like everyday activities. Right, so how well can a candidate, I don't know, like change oil on a car?
Oh, yeah.
Or like change a tire or something like that?
And they're going to be like, well, I don't have to change oil. I'll drive an EV.
Whatever. But you know what I mean? Try to relate with the common man rather than all this really obscure stuff about a bill. You're like, whatever.
Yeah,
whatever.
We don't need help as people. Just
relate with us.
Well, isn't that the milk trick?
Milk trick?
Yeah, you...
Sorry, I breathed in there. That mic.
You get people, you basically ask like, how much do you think? A gallon of milk.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. Same kind of thing. But instead of that, get them to change your oil on your car.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that'd be kind of funny.
It would. And we get to watch that.
But, yeah, I mean, that's what's going on. And it's still, there's some entertainment coming from it, that's for sure.
I suppose.
From the politics
Yeah,
stuff.
I suppose.
Well, my favorite one right now, because we're in Texas, and
the Ted
Cruz thing is like, they're just hitting on him on the... going to Cuba or wherever he was going. Where was he going during the hurricane?
Mexico or something. Yeah.
And I'm like, you know those tickets aren't refundable, right?
I got to go, bro. Yeah, during COVID, I think it was.
Yeah, and I just love seeing ads like that because you're trying to make it look bad, but I don't even remember what his like actual reasoning was.
I don't know. It was 4 years ago. I don't really care, to be honest with you.
Well, I know, but it's just when you hear the ads, like, he left when you were drowning. I'm like, what a guy. But yeah, I actually had a great weekend. I went fishing for like the third time in my life.
You've only fished twice before this.
Yes, yeah, so,
that's kind of hard to believe.
Well, what it is growing up in a family that's pretty large, mm-hmm. and you have three older brothers, I was always last to like do anything. And a lot of the activities like hunting and fishing, it was like you can only have so many people on the boat.
Right.
So clearly I wasn't the one going on the boat.
That's the reason they left you off.
Mm-hmm. And then like, especially in hunting, when we're together, who gets first shot? Not me. So I never got to shoot anything, but I was there. I helped gut it and do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you had to do the least fun part of the activity.
Well, actually, I enjoy it.
That's because you're a psychopath.
Well, it makes you feel like a man.
Sure, okay.
Especially that tear, that first tear.
God, it's nasty.
It's like, you're like, oh, I'm going to eat this, yeah. And then, you know, but no, I never really caught on to fishing. I was like, okay. I don't really care. But one of my buddies, we went to go help him renovate this house that's on the water. Really cool spot. And then I bought a fishing license and I went fishing. And then it's pretty funny because...
Are you saying you bought a fishing license because we're on the air, or did you actually buy a fishing license?
Well, because last time we were there, I was not fishing, but we got stopped by a game warden.
Okay, there you go.
And I was like, hey, I'm just going to buy one just in case, like if we do go fishing.
And of course, you didn't get stopped this time.
Oh, no, actually, we got followed by one, but luckily we were right by the cabin. So we're like, okay. We waved to him. And then, but I had my license. It was like on my phone and everything. It's great. But what I love doing, you ever been in a situation where, like, you're clearly an amateur in something. And the person who you're with is a good friend of yours, but he's like an expert at something.
Okay.
And they have this animosity towards you. Because it's like, hey, do I really have to hold your hand throughout this whole thing?
Right, they expect you to at least know the basics of whatever said. Yeah, I think I found myself in something like that before. It is quite emasculating, especially depending on what the exercise is.
Oh, yeah. So
if they know how to hook a fish and unhook it, you're over there going...
I didn't know how to properly hook a fish. I just thought you let the fish bite it, and when the pole goes, you're like, all right, let's go, fish on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently you're not supposed to do that because it'll swallow lures all the way down their bodies.
This is true, making it very difficult, if not impossible, to get it out.
And what was great is my buddy Wade fishes. So if no one knows what wade fishing is, basically you're on this boat and then you go up to like the coast area where you can walk in the water, so up to your waist.
And you wear rubber britches.
Yes. And I didn't have any of that stuff, so I was like, I'm not doing that right now. So he's like, yeah, cool, just stay in the boat and come bring me the boat if I walk. And he'd walk like 50 yards. And so the first fish I caught, really big trout, but it swallowed it. And I was like, do I really have to like get in there? And I'm not afraid of touching fish.
I got to perform surgery.
Well, and then I realized I was pulling it, and I was like, those are guts. And I was like, this fish is dead.
Yeah.
And that's why my buddy Kurt looks at me. He's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, because he sees me with my hand like in the fish, and he's like, you're going to kill it. And I'm like, oh.
I'm checking this thing's small intestine.
Yeah. And then he walks back. He's like upset. He has to walk all the way back.
He has to wade over there.
He has to wade over to me. And he's like, come on, man. Like, don't you know how to catch a fish? I'm like, no. I thought you'd literally just throw the lure in and you catch it. I didn't know you had to like time it just right where you hook it.
There is some technique, yeah.
There is. No,
go figure.
Yeah. I was really surprised
by that.
That's
why some people are better at it than others.
Oh, well,
the next one,
I got perfect. Right on the lip. Throw it in. I'm like,
oh, you're no pro now.
But what was great, though, was I think total I killed two fish, and they were just floating by the boat.
Right.
So I was constantly reminded of, like, my failure. And I go...
Sorry about that, buddy.
And I'm like, it's a... And I kind of told him, I was like, I'm not going to fish without you close by because I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to get lures out. I killed two of them. It was pretty cool. It was pretty gnarly, though.
Yes.
And
I felt
kind of bad. But the greatest part was he caught a big old redfish, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was probably this big. I think it was like 25.
That seems like a pretty decent size, yes.
Pretty good size out there. Well, anyway, he's like, well, I'm going to keep this one and we're gonna skin it. And I was like, cool. So we get back to the cabin, which is on the water. Like, it's literally on the water. And we skin it, and he throws the head out, like, right in front of us. And I was like, are you supposed to do that? He's like, technically no, but there's only one. We're only doing one fish, so it's fine. And I'm like, cool. And he goes, he takes a fish, and he goes up to the cabin. I'm sitting there, and I'm throwing the rod. I'm, like, practicing. And next thing I know, I see a fin coming up the dock. And I was like, oh, is that a dolphin?
And did someone have a piano nearby playing two notes over and over again?
And we were walking in the water right there.
That's a Jaws joke.
I know, but this was so funny to me. I'm sitting there going, like, oh, there's a dolphin. And then it was like, that's not a dolphin, is it? And then it just comes up. It was about 4-foot-long shark, devours the fish that we just cut. And it was right by where we were walking in the water.
And suddenly you're really rethinking your gutting techniques of those other fish that are now floating nearby you.
Yes. And I'm sitting there going, and I go, hey, buddy, do sharks actually like come up this like high up into the water? Like, because it's very shallow and there's weeds everywhere. And it's like...
Probably a hammerhead, if I had to guess.
And he's like, no, I've never seen one. I was like, well, I just saw a big old one and it devoured that fish you threw in 4 minutes ago or 3 minutes ago.
You know
ago.
What's ironic about all of this is a shark attack is one of your greatest fears.
Yeah.
Oh, and
yeah.
I said, don't worry about it. They're easily avoidable. Just don't get in the water and look at you.
I know.
Look at you.
I'm not afraid of it.
Are you about to tell me you're missing a limb from the knee down? I just can't tell right now.
And actually, my pinky toe. No. But it was funny. I was sitting here going, like, I was just walking in that, and that happened. Well, whatever. And then
you're in his domain.
It was pretty
now,
gnarly
man.
To see a shark eat a big old fish.
Yeah, I bet.
Like it was.
And then after that, he just swam off.
Yeah.
He didn't come and get your leftovers.
No.
Okay. Well, there's that.
But yeah, fishing's pretty fun. I can't wait to go back out. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I could see that.
And drinking beer is a lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh. So you drank beer while you were fishing?
That's the only reason I wanted to stay on the boat.
How shocking! How shocking!
I wanted to stay on the boat. I was like, sorry, I don't have boots, but I'll just stay by the cooler.
You've been watching. Speaking of the coast, have you been watching any of the footage on Hurricane Milton?
I saw, is Milton the one in Florida?
Yeah,
or,
yeah, the most recent.
I saw the Tampa Bay.
Helene was the week prior,
okay.
And then Milton was this week.
Yeah, the Tampa Bay Rays or whatever, the baseball team has lost their roof.
Right,
and
it's pretty gnarly, man.
I was watching that video, and all I could think about was the guy who owns the building.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it's probably the state owns it, I guess, or...
I would not know.
And they're probably thinking, man, it's going to be about...
You think they purchased insurance?
$20 million right there.
Yep. No, it's interesting. I just still find it amazing that we send reporters out in the storm.
Oh, it's great.
We still do this. Now, I guess it's just not enough to show a camera outside showing wind and debris flying. No. We have to put some poor sap out there to go, we don't believe you unless you get out there. And they stand there and lean into it. Meanwhile, they're getting smacked with rain and the wind's blowing. I'm like, I can't believe in this day and age that we still do that. I think Anderson Cooper got out there. And he's like a big name.
Yeah.
And it's not
risking
like,
his life.
Risking his life. And I guess it's to add like a human element so you can really tell how bad it is. Otherwise, if it's
banana
just on camera.
Banana for scale.
Yeah. Banana for scale.
Banana for scale.
For reference. But yeah, it's just so wild. But anyways, I wanted to, I don't know if you saw this one video, and I want you to play the audio and video for the onesies, but this kind of caught my eye.
All right. So this is in Florida.
Yes, this
right,
is
I'm
in Florida.
God sent me here. He sent me here. He told me to come here. My life, this is nothing compared to what I've been through. So this
crank up the audio.
This is not even a minor inconvenience.
Again, hours earlier, Mayor Jane Castor of Tampa did threaten to arrest him for his own protection and force him into a shelter. And at this hour, it's unclear if that has happened yet.
So what that was is a Florida man that they're calling Lieutenant Dan. And what you didn't hear in that clip was God apparently told him to ride the storm out in a boat.
Yeah, I like it. Lieutenant Dan. Well, it's also one of those insane things because I was reading an article about basically Houston because they're talking about like the biggest, the bigger hurricanes and Florida is congested, but it's not as congested as the city of Houston. And they were talking about, like, evacuating an area. How much time do you really have sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
And then also, how much money do you have? Because if you don't have anywhere to go, you don't...
Sure.
You don't,
I mean, you get in the car and you start driving, but then if you run out of fuel and there's a lot of places that are out of fuel, you're stuck.
Yeah.
You might actually be worse off in some cases. So, yeah, it's a really treacherous thing. But I guess he's genius, right? Because if the waters rise, he just floats up with them. I mean, come on.
Well,
brilliant.
He's probably really a looter, and he's just waiting.
Well, he survived. This video, video was...
On his boat?
He survived, yes. It says, I'm fine, he responds as he appears from the hatch. I think you made it through the worst of it. He said, I'm fine and I'm stuck here.
Well, Juan, you know why they call him Lieutenant Dan, right?
Why is that?
Look at this picture I just found of this gentleman. He doesn't have a leg.
Oh, yes, you're right. So he's missing a leg.
He's missing a leg. Get with it, dog. I love it. All right, yeah. No,
so the interviewer asked him if he would be wearing a life jacket when he braced for Hurricane Milton, and he replied, hell no. Later adding, the safest place in the world is to be in my boat. Well, he proved us all wrong because apparently he did make it. Lieutenant Dan.
Yeah.
One-legged Lieutenant Dan.
I love
Dan,
it.
Yeah.
I love it. All right. The other videos are pretty crazy. People just trying to drive, and it's like a tornado hits them. You're like, oh.
Yeah, it's wild. The storm surge pictures I've seen are wild, and it seems like we're having quite a few of these here late
in
the season.
But the conspiracy
too.
Theories come up now. Now we're talking about lasers.
Mm-hmm.
And controlling the weather.
Oh, absolutely. I love it.
And I saw a couple of videos of that. And what's great about that idea is It's like, all right, so we're creating these disasters to get rid of the stupid people. That was my favorite conspiracy that I read, is the government's trying to get rid of the stupid people. That's my favorite one.
Oh, well, I mean, if it works, and why not?
Yeah.
An interesting note on Lieutenant Dan here. It says in February of 2023, he was separately accused of aggravated battery with a deadly weapon after a woman claimed he put gasoline on her while she was smoking a cigarette. Good God.
Well, these are the kind of people you don't say howdy to. If I saw Lieutenant Dan walking the street, I wouldn't talk to him. He didn't look like a friendly fella.
No, and by the looks of him, you know, he's got, it looks like he's got tattoos all over him. Although that's, look, hey, you can have tattoos. They appear to be not the most delicately rendered, I would say. If God is telling him to do all these things, perhaps he needs to be listening to a different God. I'm just going to say he got lucky on this one. I don't know. You ready to kick off the show, buddy?
Yeah, dog.
Let's kick off show. This week is, yes, a great week, but it is also the most wonderful week of all because it is Fat Bear Week. Are you aware of what Fat Bear Week is?
No.
Fat Bear Week is a celebration of success and survival. It is a way to celebrate the resilience, the adaptivity, that's a weird word, adaptivity and strength of Katmai's brown bears. Katmai, where the
Oh, they actually find these bears and they vote on them?
Yeah, so basically what this is you have pictures of all of these bears that are sent in and people vote on them. They match them up against each one. And I guess loosely the winner of this bracket is based off of, you know, just who appears to be more strong or who's prettier or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's called Fat Bear Week. It says, over the course of the week, visitors learn more about the lives and histories of the individual bears while also gaining an understanding of Katmai's ecosystem. What is Katmai? Where is this?
I don't know. Alaska?
Yeah, I'm thinking it is in Alaska. And you can meet all the contestants, blah, 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 blah. But what's interesting about this year's competition, it was postponed due to a week because one of the brackets revealed earlier this week that an on-camera fight between two of the bears at the mouth of one of the Brooks River led to the death of one of the animals.
Oh, yeah.
So basically, these two bears started duking it out on camera and fought to the death, and they had to postpone the entire thing as these bears went for it. A bear known as...
Why don't we bet on that?
No kidding. Take some odds on that. Known as Bear 402, a former Fat Bear Week contestant, the older female grizzly was killed by a male known as Bear 469 Monday morning. Mike Fritz, the resident naturalist at explore.org and also a park ranger, said. Pretty violent, so they had to postpone it after old Bear 469 destroyed 402 in a pretty brutal attack. But I guess it's kind of a neat thing. I mean, how else are you going to, I guess, get attention for your cause?
Yeah.
But it's pretty
neat. Like it.
Yeah, it takes place October 2nd through the 8th, but again, it was postponed.
Well, they really do
year.
Have a bracket system.
Yeah, it's all
That's crazy.
Bracket system set up, man. And again, I searched for like some of the rules.
What kind of rules would there be?
Right, exactly. And I couldn't find it. So it basically is like this bear versus this bear, who wins? Like based on what? I don't really know. But it's a cool annual.
But it's all, well, the rules are you have to look fat.
It's not just fat, I think, because obvious, look, if you put two bear pictures next to each other, the fatter one's always going to win. I think it's based on more than just fatness.
Whatever. Well, what they should do is see you put a small child in the reserve, and whoever doesn't attack the child wins.
Just off to the side.
Yeah, it's like we got cameras on this child. Yeah.
That's a skinny bear. Any fat bear is definitely going to eat the child. This is pretty interesting. A Boise State volleyball player is going viral after her unique look is made available, aware on the internet. I don't know how you want to say it. I want you to show this picture of the onesies, but this girl's name is Nora Hayde, and she's a volleyball player.
Whoa, that's her?
But she is also a goth. And as far as I know, she's the first goth NIL player out there, and it's really hilarious because if you scroll down in this page... from SI.com. There is a team picture of the Boise State Broncos volleyball team, and there's all the girls standing there, you know, the blonde girls, your usual suspects, usually tall, all of them very white. And then here is this one sticking
like
out
it.
That looks like
you know
she's dressed up in
you know what
for
I
Halloween
love?
And white face paint
I
and red
immediately,
hair.
immediately tell the story of this young lady's upbringing is Mom or dad or both were volleyball players, you know.
Right, right. So she had to. It's a rite of passage.
We got her into volleyball, and she's like, Mom, I hate volleyball. I'm a goth. Man. And it's like, but then she actually loves it secretly. And then when she was getting to that point where she had to go to college or not, you know, being a goth, she kind of goes, they're going to give me a scholarship. I better go there. I just got to play volleyball. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I don't know if this is a bit or not, or if this is for real, but it certainly is gaining a lot of attention for not only her, but for Boise State. And I just love it, though, because she sticks out. She looks like she's basically Gene Simmons from Kiss there, for the most part, and she's wearing her little jersey.
Well, I'm curious if that's what she wears during the game. Because she has a nose ring. I don't know if you want to wear a nose ring.
You know, that would be interesting. They don't show any game pictures of her. These are just team photos, so I don't know yet.
What's her name?
Nora Hade.
Okay, yeah, so I found these pictures on Instagram.
She looks normal
and
there.
And she has the no makeup or anything.
Yeah, but I'm thinking this is a bit, but either way, I love it, even if it is just a bit.
No, I don't think it is.
You think she's been, she's been a goth her whole life?
Yeah, looks like it. I just don't think she...
What are your thoughts on the goth, by the way? You think that's a good look for girls?
I think you can do whatever the hell you want.
Well, I didn't say you couldn't do whatever the hell you want. I'm saying, do you like it? Does it do something for you? Because I know that there are some guys who kind of like that goth look.
Well,
this looks like...
To be honest,
this looks like a kindergartner who got into her mom's makeup.
I don't put notches on my belt just for the sake of putting notches on my belt.
Okay, good to know. Noted.
If I saw her, I probably wouldn't talk to her. But then we could probably be friends.
Yeah, but I bet you put that notch in your bed with like a nail.
Well, now that I'm kind of single, I guess I'm like, who cares?
Kind of single.
Yeah,
love that. So non-committal.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not the committal part. It's more of like, I realized that after the previous, after you divorce somebody for knowing them for so long, you roll back into like your 20s. And then when you're going on dates, it's like, this is a little too easy, guys.
Is it ever too easy?
It's kind of easy. It's a little scary easy, too.
I don't think I want to know.
And I'm like, I don't really like this. I don't like this side of me. It's like when you're in a monogamous relationship, you're like, you dedicate so much time to discipline yourself to be in a monogamous relationship. You're not going out to bars, checking out chicks and doing this. Like,
I've heard, yeah.
Unless you're just a butthead and that's like, you do those things.
Sure.
But now it's like the beast is unleashed. And I'm like, I can just kind of do whatever I want. And I'm like, what's going on here?
I think you need to test the limits of this, though.
And I already am.
And start going as a goth and see how much you can get away with.
You know, I was thinking that the other day. I was like, I should just grow my hair out and see what...
Have you looked in the mirror?
Well, I mean, yeah, true. Well, because I think even... I want to say it was my mom even made a comment. She's like, you've been going on a lot of dates. Maybe if you actually shaved your beard and cut your hair, you'd probably go on more dates. And I was like, that's a great idea. That's a great idea. Got to slay the town.
Interesting that you bring up beards. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being the worst and 10 being the best, how would you rank your beard?
My beard?
Yes.
Oh, 0.
Really?
It's struggling.
Okay, interesting.
Because it might look good from like across the football field, but when you get up to me about 10 yards, you're like, ooh. Mm.
Well, from a...
Lieutenant Dan has a better beard than me, just to let you know.
Okay. Well, 3/4 of American men say they feel more confident with facial hair. One in 5 men would give up sex for a full year to get the perfect beard, according to research. A new survey of 2,000 Americans examined facial hair, confidence, and the relationship between the two. I have to say that I think my beard, I'm going to give it a 6.5 or 7. Which is right where most men rank their beard. A 10? Do you really?
Well, because it's clean. You actually keep it up.
Yeah, I trim
like
it.
Me,
of course, it's called hygiene. Yeah.
I don't do that at all.
No way.
And I try like you go into this like YouTube thing of it. And you're like, I don't want to do all that. Like, I don't really. When I comb my hair, I just comb it back, and I just leave it. I'm like, whatever, done. I don't put product in my hair. I shampoo it and I bathe my body, and that's it. I don't. You just see my nails. My nails, you can tell I'm just sitting there going like this all day. And I'm just sitting there.
It's a nervous habit.
And
the average male respondent only ranked their happiness with, again, 1 being the least happy and 10 being the most happy, with their facial hair at a 6 out of 10, which is kind of right where I'm at. It says half of men surveyed with their facial hair are bothered by certain parts growing faster than others, as well as their facial hair taking too long to grow. Other gripes included patchiness or uneven coloring.
Well, you know, I always wondered if there is a science to studying the growth of beards with hormones and like your age. Because before, you know how a while back I grew out a mustache?
Yes.
So I grew out a mustache for fun.
Yes. Didn't look like you were committing petty crimes at all.
I kind of did. And
don't go near parks.
But what was wild is I was like, screw it, I'm going to get the handlebar. I'm going to get the handlebar mustache. And I was just growing. And then all of a sudden, as I was growing and shaving, and then I was like, I just got to let it, I'm just going to grow it all out. And then I actually had a beard. Because I never actually had a beard before. Because it'd be really holy.
So you're saying if you didn't shave, you grew a beard. That is crazy.
No, I meant more of like the holes somehow filled in.
Yeah, yeah.
It was weird. It's like my body triggered. It's like, oh, you're of age now.
Yeah, you're an
You can, at 38, you're allowed to have a beard. But it, I still have some patches, but it used to be really bad. I looked legit like a homeless dude. It was great.
Yes, homeless chic, as I've often called it. It says 4 in 10 men would be willing to spend a night in jail or even give up coffee for a year for the perfect beard. How far would you go? I mean, you ranked a zero. I mean, so you're really... But the thing is, you think it's a zero, but you've been rocking it now for months.
Yeah, I like having it.
You're just giving it a chance, huh? You're
actually...
Someday I'm going to wake up one morning and it's actually going
to
look good.
A while back, I want to say when I wasn't even like shaped. Now I'm shaping it. I'm trying to do that. Before that, I wasn't doing anything. I was just growing it. And we went swimming somewhere, and one guy made a comment that I looked like a Viking.
Oh, that's a compliment.
Because my hair was like...
Have you ever met an unmanly Viking?
Exactly. And I was like, this is tight.
Yeah.
Keeping it.
Men were 10% more likely than women to agree that the belief that facial hair makes a man more attractive, 73% versus 63%. So basically, 63% of women think beards make men more attractive, 73% of men think it makes them look more attractive. I've always wanted to be able to do, although I don't think this look is for everybody, the real pencil thin,
those are great.
Like along the chin line, but you have to have like really, really thick beard to be able to do that. You can't have a thin beard and be able to do the little pencil thin. Like you're some sort of 90s boy band singer.
I like it.
When those look good on very few people,
how much money,
I could not pull that off.
How much money would you need to wear the Adolf?
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, Michael Jordan did it and didn't seem to care. He had a Hitler stash for years, man.
Yeah.
It's just this little what did we've talked about it. What's it called?
I thought it was called Adolf.
No, it's called the snot. Grass or something. What was it called?
Snot grabber?
Something like that. Yeah, we've talked about it. Yeah, I don't know. But it does say that support for facial hair is booming, as 3/4 of men and women studied said it has become more socially acceptable. No, that's not it.
That's what they call it. I've looked it up.
Yeah, it was something snot blocker or something. I don't remember. It's been too long. Anyways.
But how much money would you take? Say for a whole year you had to rock it and you had to maintain it.
And just not bring it up.
I would do $1 million a month.
Well, it's going to have to be enough. It would have to be enough to cover medical bills, because I have a feeling as soon as I walk out in public, someone's going to probably attack me, thinking I'm.
Because I always wondered, like, just
some sort of.
Well, it's kind of like when you brought
Nazi
up
Nazi supporter or something.
Past episode where you're talking about those Nike shoes that those people committed suicide, and like Nike's like, oh, we're not selling.
Oh, the Hail Bop, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, like, what would happen with your work?
That's what I'm. Okay, I'd have to be able to cover. Work expenses, not work expenses, but my income, because I'm going to get fired, let's be honest.
They would really fire you for that?
I mean, yeah, man, come on.
Well, it's not like you're wearing like a Nazi suit. You're just doing a mustache that some guy, you know,
I would have to have my salary plus benefits plus medical.
You can just tell him Charlie Chaplin's your favorite dude.
Yeah, I could do that. That'll really work.
But I mean, that because what I love about that idea is especially how touchy everyone seems to be. Especially on the internet and the world, it's like your mustache offends me, and I really want someone to tell me that. Like that, I would start laughing.
That would complete you. Huh?
That would be the funniest conversation.
Well, it's a good thing that you trimmed your beard, because it says a shorter beard was deemed more attractive, or I'm sorry, most attractive style by women at 35%. I guess compared to the big long ZZ top beard.
It's a tell.
It's a tell.
Yeah, it's a tell that you actually take
care
of.
You actually care.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose so.
I'm fascinated with someone telling me your mustache offends me.
Don't know if I've ever heard that. All right, man, it's probably a pretty good time to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the death of a very young old man right here in the Audience One Show.
Good Car enthusiasts of Conroe, FM 104.5 and 106.1 Lone Star Community Radio invites you to shift into gear every Monday from 1 to 2 with Cruising Car Club Talk with Robert and Randy for news on all things automotive in the greater Houston Conroe area. Can't make a live show? We've got you covered. You can find all of our uncut content, including full episodes, on Spotify, iTunes, Play Store, YouTube, Facebook, and IRLoneStar.com. Again, that's Mondays 1 to 2, Cruising Car Club Talk with Robert and Randy. See you there.
All right. Yeah, audience of one, boom, part two of today's episode. We are live every Friday at 10 a.m. Almost said 11. Well,
11 on the East Coast.
Yeah, it depends on where you are, if you're still there with us. But I want to remind folks, you can always send in your funny articles and feedback to audienceofoneshow@gmail.com. We post our show every Friday at 10 on podcasts, so subscribe there, or your Lone Star's YouTube channel. Also, you can listen worldwide live while we're here at 10 o'clock on the app and irlonestar.com/ALO.
So you're going to tell them, you're going to let me do it?
What?
You gonna let the onesies know what happened?
Nothing happened.
I believe something catastrophic occurred, sir, just moments ago. Go ahead, let them know.
You farted.
No, that's not catastrophic. That's wonderful.
Well, no, I've been having computer issues.
No, we had a complete crash of the computer about 15, 20 minutes into the second segment and lost everything. And let me tell you, onesies, it was a banger. So
yeah.
Because of
he
that...
He took off his shirt.
Oh, I was dancing. It was Magic Mike style. It was amazing.
He has a third nipple.
Four, actually.
Four.
You only found three
One's
of them.
One's in his armpit.
Yeah,
it's weird.
It is really weird.
You ever tickled a nipple pit?
But the thing is, because of that, it took a while to get the computer back up and running. We don't have a lot of time left in the studio, so we may not get a full show in recorded. So we just want to let everybody know, if this show is short, that's the reason why. Computer issues.
I don't know why you like always to be honest with people. Like,
well, they might be wondering why all of a sudden there's a 40-minute show out of nowhere. You know, this is, I think, our 87th, 88th episode. Why all of a sudden would we have a 40-minute show? You know?
Why do we have an hour, 10-minute episode?
Because we have an hour and 10 minutes worth of genius. Worth of amazing stuff. So, as I was saying before, I took my dog outside for a walk into the backyard because the weather is amazing right now. The weather's gotten cooler. It's sunny, just beautiful days. And I set my little Olive Grace outside, and I said something to her, and she looked up, and I noticed she kind of squinted because she had looked into the sun. And it got me thinking, if dogs, and maybe all animals in general, know not to look at the sun. Because, I mean, we as humans know not to because we're told, but obviously animals can't be told not to look in the sun. So is it just some sort of...
I think they know. This is a stupid prompt.
They obviously have to know. Otherwise, all these animals would be walking around and would be blind.
Yeah.
I guess
I think everyone knows to hide from the sun.
I guess. Did you have to train your dog not to look into the sun?
Well, I think every animal adapts to certain circumstances. And
they just know, oh, that hurts to look up there. I'm not going to do it.
Well, dogs aren't looking up, too.
Short dogs are. Why would... I mean, hello, you're taller. They're always going to look up at
you. Yeah, but if they're running, they're not looking up.
I suppose, maybe.
But you know that...
Look, these are the dumb things I think about, okay? I'm like, yeah, my dog looked into the sun.
Well, this is kind of connecting to that story, but
okay.
I really wanted to tell this to you.
Okay.
Yesterday, I was bowling
mm-hmm.
on a team doing league, and I'm on the right side, and I go up to the approach, about to bowl, and this guy on my left side, all of a sudden, like right when I was about to start walking... He comes up and spooks me.
He jumps you.
And I'm like, whoa. And then I bowl and I mess up.
So he doesn't know lane courtesy what you're saying.
And I was like, and me being me, I was like, I got to tell this guy to like not do that because he's going to do
you're
it again.
You're going to lecture him?
Well, because if you don't tell him, they're going to do it again.
You're going to mansplain.
And
yeah.
I want to win.
Excuse me, sir. Let me tell you the rules.
He's in his chair, and me being like, you got to approach the circumstance comfortably. Like, you don't want to come off as a dick. And I go, hey, I get on my knee, one knee, and I go, hey, man, I'm Dick. I'm the guy bowling to the right. And he's like, yeah. And I was like, hey, just to let you know, like, you came up on me while I was bowling, and, like, you got to have lane courtesy. Like, you got to let me just bowl, and then you can bowl. Mm-hmm. And I'll, like, it's kind of one of those things that lane to your left, lane to your right. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I know that kind of stuff. And I'm like, okay, yeah, cool. And he's like, but I'm also blind in my right eye, so I just didn't see you. And I look at him, and I'm like, and I even did the full like funnel of his face, and I was like, is he really is he really blind? And I kid you not, he has a dead eye. He has like one of those milky eyes.
So you just told a blind guy,
oh, yeah,
to look out of his right eye to have Lane Curtis.
Yeah, no, I legit said like, hey, I apologize. Like that's cool and everything, but just look with your left eye.
Yeah, I would have Lane Curtis if I wasn't blind. Thanks for reminding me.
In his right
me.
Eye, so he only has Lane Curtis for the left eye. So I told him, I was like, yeah, just use your left eye next time.
Like I said, it's like Biden telling a guy in a wheelchair to stand up.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. God. I really wanted to tell you that because it was so wild to me.
You always step into these traps,
it's hilarious,
man.
And what's great is, like, my team goes, you tell him, I come back. I'm like, yeah, I told him. And then I go, apparently he's blind. And they were like, oh, he's messing with you. And I go, no, like, legit, his eye's dead. Like, it's pretty, I had to, like, look at him.
He had a dead eye, did he?
It's pretty crazy, though. But, yeah, I thought you would enjoy that.
How did you know it was a dead eye?
Because I looked at it, and it was white.
Is that the sign of a dead eye? White?
It might be he's possessed.
You sure he was not?
But it's just that one eye.
Are you sure it wasn't just an early Halloween costume?
Yeah.
Oh, my. I have a really funny story as well.
Oh, yeah. Tell me.
Okay, this is not me. This was a coworker of mine was telling the story about how he was one day walking to a grocery store, and he was kind of flustered and because I think he had to go back in to grab an item. And so he was walking in kind of quickly and wasn't really paying attention. Well, it was one of these stores that had a bank right out front, you know, in the front of the store. And typically, it's like sometimes the Walmarts will have like a wood forest or whatever.
Yeah, I didn't talk about.
And at this time, they had one of the employees of the bank was out there out front kind of saying, hey, come on into the bank, open up a checking account, blah, 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 blah. And it was my coworker had said that he had met this woman multiple times. He sees her there all the time. He wasn't really paying attention. And when he walked in, she said something to him and he looked up and said, yeah, matey, something to her like matey. Wasn't really half paying attention. Well, on his way out, he realized she was wearing an eye patch. And he thought it was because it was close to Halloween. As it turns out, no, she had had some kind of issue with her eye.
Yeah.
And he called her matey. And then, of course, he's embarrassed to go back in there next time because he's going to see the same person again. How terrible is that? I probably butchered that story, but the point was, yeah, he stepped into it.
That's awesome. I always find myself in those scenarios, and then it's also kind of like, it is what it is. I'm not going to feel bad for it. Like the guys, I told that guy, don't do it. Mm-hmm. I don't care. You're blind in your right eye. Like, try not to
rules
do it.
Rules are rules, bro. Rules are rules. So it's this time of year. It's Halloween, as I was saying.
What's your costume?
I don't really have a costume
yet. I'm going to go as Obi-Wan Kenobi from Star Wars Episode 2.
Okay. You've got the look.
I got the beard.
Yeah, you've got the look.
That kind of the longer hair.
So I was told I could go as that as well.
Got a lightsaber.
Yeah, you do. You do. I was told I could go as him years ago when I had longer hair and the beard too. So I think you could pull it off.
Yeah, we could pull it off.
Yep, you could pull it off. But no, it's that time of year when all of the Halloween movies start coming out again. You know, some of the classics like Halloween or Friday the 13th, Pet Sematary. And I saw in the guide, the TV guide, Poltergeist.
Okay.
And I thought, that's interesting. Made me realize I have no idea what a poltergeist is. Okay.
See, I always thought, it'd be so wild if there is a book of this that goes into the descriptions of each type of supernatural occurrence. Because when I thought of poltergeist, I thought of The Exorcist. Because a poltergeist, I thought, was like they go into a body and they, you know, they control the person. Apparently, that's way off.
That is way off. In German folklore and ghost lore, a poltergeist is a type of ghost or spirit that is responsible for physical disturbances such as loud noises and objects being
moved
or
destroyed.
What's an example of a poltergeist, then? The type ghost that walks by and knocks your goop candle off the mantle. That's what it is.
Goop, goop.
Goop, goop. Most claims or fictional descriptions of poltergeists show them as being capable of pinching, biting, hitting, and tripping people. And I'm thinking, well, isn't that most ghosts? Aren't they the ones that make the sound? Otherwise, how do you know that you have a ghost in your house? Because you hear it, because you see it. Mm-hmm. But apparently not. You were saying other ghosts aren't capable of touching objects,
like,
but poltergeists.
When I think of ghosts, I think of like go through walls. And like, poltergeists are the ones like that shake the chandelier and.
Ooh.
I don't know if they talk. Again, there's a book. I guarantee you there's a book that tells you, like, oh, actually, poltergeists, they have this kind of Aeon energy. And but yeah, it's funny that you mentioned Poltergeist, because I don't think I've ever seen that movie.
I don't believe I have either, but it's out there now. It's out there. They're playing it yet again.
Because I would probably be the coolest poltergeist, or the funniest.
Would you?
I would just do practical jokes the whole time.
Would you? You go and steal people's jade stone?
Yeah, right out of them.
Whoop! Honey, where did that go?
No, I would, like, you know, tie the shoelaces, you know, stub the toe, like, stop the door. Someone, like, people are trying to go through the door. Don't they hit their head?
That'd be great.
And then, you know, cut the brakes of their car.
Sure, why
not?
This
is going to be great. But yeah, usually, you know what sucks about those kind of stories of ghosts and everything? Is everyone's like, it's always the ghost is pissed off.
Of course.
Like, the only ghost, I think you mentioned that in the corrupted file we have, is you talk about Casper.
Mm-hmm.
He's like the only friendly ghost.
He is.
Is there other, I mean, I feel like there's other ghosts that are well known that are like, oh, I'm not here because you killed my dad.
I think Casper's the only one. That's why they had to give him the moniker of Friendly Ghost.
You know, that movie's pretty wild. Have you seen that movie? Like the.
I mean, I probably have. It's been remade a couple of times, hasn't it?
Like the actual Christina Ricci or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Not Bill Pullman. Is it Bill Pullman?
Pax.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
But they die in that movie.
What?
I saw it probably a couple years ago and I forgot. I was like, as a kid, this would be traumatic. Because, like, the dad dies.
Yeah. I think if I were a poltergeist, you know what I would do? I would do things that would just drive people insane. So let's say someone had a soda can and they're sitting in front of them. And, you know, when you have the can in front of you, you're going to have the opening that you would drink out of facing you. And as soon as the person kind of looked away, I'd turn it the other way.
Do you think
And then they look back down and they go, what?
Would you think that ghosts evolve?
Just little things like that, or maybe turn their silverware upside down.
Yeah, sometimes
on their fork.
I would do jokes the whole time.
Did I put my fork upside down? I swear I didn't.
Yeah.
Just little things like that. Do you think ghosts evolve? I don't
know. Well, I mean, like Casper. If people don't know the story of Casper, Casper is like a friendly ghost because he's a kid, and he died for, I forgot like what the actual backstory to that is, but whatever. He's always a kid, though. So in the comics and everything, he's like a 12-year-old boy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thinking like a 12-year-old boy forever. So I was like, that kind of makes no sense to me, because if he's alive for 100 years, he's got to have some experiences that develop him as a person or as a ghost. But if he's always had that 12-year-old mind, like, you know, there's no growth in Casper.
That's sad. Mm-hmm. Man, you just brought some levity to the show.
Well, I was just thinking about it, because I remember watching the movie, and in the movie, spoiler, he comes real for, like, they give him a gift for, he can be real for 5 hours or something like that. And I'm thinking, man, if I was 100 years old and I'm finally a real boy, what do you think I'd be doing?
I was going to say something really, well, really inappropriate.
Well, yeah. No, my mind immediately went
lifting skirts.
Yeah. And yeah. I'm like, you're a real person now. Like, you missed out all this stuff that you watched this for hundreds of years. And it's like, yeah, I'm going to go dance at a high school dance. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Like, no.
Oh, man. Dick, were you old enough to remember the finger in the chili at Wendy's?
Yeah. Well, I remember there was like all these stories of like roaches and fingers. And then there was like, there was one with a frog. Made no sense.
I don't remember the frog one, but this one was really, really huge, and it made international headlines in 2005. Anna Ayala was dining at a San Jose Wendy's restaurant when she claimed that she chomped down on a partially cooked segment of a human finger, and the fast food chain suffered an estimated $21 million in lost business. Now, how did she get the finger? You might be asking. Well, her husband, Jaime, got the severed finger from a coworker who lost it in an industrial accident. Oh, both of them pled guilty, blah, 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 and were sentenced to... She was sentenced to 9 years in prison, but was released after 4 years on good behavior. Well, after she got out back in, I guess, mid-2000, she came clean and said, yep, I did it, and here's how I did it, kind of like OJ. I cooked it, Ayala said of the severed digit. During an interview, she said she prepared the piece of ring finger at her Las Vegas home and then drove it to San Jose, where she dropped it in the chili.
See, that to me isn't the interesting part of the story. What the interesting part of the story is, how did she get caught? and also the conversation between the coworker going mm-hmm. like, oh, aha, you have a missing finger. We should use that in Wendy's chili.
Right. How did she arrive at that? Well, I think you get busted because you said, there's a finger in my chili, and all the employees look around and go, well, we've got all our fingers.
Not even that, but again, I think there was like, that was a fad of people claiming whatever's in their fast food.
Mm-hmm.
And they try to get money.
Sure. I mean,
so she thought it would work.
A lot of times people do hair. She's like, I'm going to step my game up.
But did
up.
The CSI people come in like, let's fingerprint?
I'm sure they could do some forensics.
I want to know that. I want to know, like, how did they find out she was lying? Was it like a phone conversation?
I'm sure they could find out that it was not actually cooked from inside that chili and it had been planted there.
What
I'm
she
sure.
did technically probably wasn't illegal until she sued.
I don't know.
Because that's fraud.
Yes, of course.
But if I was just claiming I found a finger...
Just for the notoriety of it? Just because that's like, a cool thing? It's a cool brag to have?
I don't think you go to jail for that.
Well, this is what's pretty funny. Ayala told the reporter that other prisoners and even the guards ridiculed her and called her names because of the scam that landed her behind bars. I have learned my lesson, and I just want to move on with my life.
That would be kind of funny. Like, you know, you're on the yard or whatever, the jail, and everyone's like, what are you in for? What are you in for? And it's like, oh, I put a finger in chili, and I try to sue him.
I'm the chili chick.
I'm the finger chili. Finger in chili. But yeah, I want to say during that time, there were so many other ones. Like, mm-hmm. And then there's legit ones, you know, like the lady burning herself with coffee. Like, that's a legit one. Because mm-hmm. she, like, literally had burns.
Yes. This was not legit. How much time we got? I know we've probably got to go.
Yeah, we got to get going.
Oh,
but,
man. We've got all kinds of stories about a failed Bridgerton-themed ball. We'll have to get to
week?
That.
Well,
no,
next
not next
week.
Week. No, we're dropping in an episode that we previously recorded next week. And then the following week, I believe we are going to take the week off as I will be traveling.
Before we go, I wanted to ask you on the air, I want to ask the audience too. I've never flown, really. So I purchased my ticket. And I don't understand why they create such a confusing system. And it reminds me of the microtransactions in video games these days. Because I just wanted to buy a ticket. But they...
As most people traveling do.
Yes. But like, I'm not kidding you. I went to United's website. And as I'm trying to purchase, it kept going like, oh, you want to get one of these seats? I'm like, why can't I just have this seat? Well, it's $30 more for this seat.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, no, I don't want that. And then like, you're doing it. And it's like, oh, do you want to get on before everyone else? I'm like, what? How are they nickel and diming you? And on this whole
that's exactly what they're doing.
And then I found out you can't dip.
No, you cannot dip on the plane. Dude.
It's crazy to me. No, I was kidding. But yeah, I was like, I was texting you some stuff about check bags because they don't.
I think the question was, what's a check bag fee?
Well, it's more of because the way they would sell it to you, there's different packages, and I was like, okay, well, I want to go to this place. That's the cheapest one. And then it's like, oh, do you want a check bag? And I go, yeah, I want a check bag. But then it's like, oh, do you want a check bag on the return flight? I'm like, who would just bring one suitcase and not come back with the suitcase? That's how you get fingers in your butt. You know? That's like so suspicious.
Or in your chili.
Well, you know what I'm talking about? Like,
sure.
Why would I just, you ever took one thing of luggage and then left it there?
Not usually. I wanted to do the quick hit here at the end of the story.
But yeah, I just wanted to share
can
that
I
with
please,
you.
Can I please do the quick hit?
Why do they
the
do that?
Story?
You fly.
It's money, man. It's a business.
But it's like,
they're doing this to make money, not to
convenience.
It's to make money, man. It's the shareholders that they have to answer to.
Because the scale, what I love about it is they give you the picture of the airplane from above with all the seats, and they even tell you like if you have money, you can sit up here.
Absolutely.
But if you don't
it
have
is
money,
a pecking order of sorts.
And I probably picked the worst seat. Because I've never really been in an airplane.
It's the one right next to the toilet?
No, actually, I want to get one by the toilet because
I
got to go pee.
No, you don't because it's stinky.
Oh, it is? Well, I'm in the back right of the last row.
That's by the toilet as well.
And I'm like, my thinking is if I want to take a nap, I have a wall.
Yeah, your seat probably won't recline, though.
That's fine with me. I'd rather sleep. You don't can't even recline anyway, imagine. Like, how far back do you go? Like
a quarter of an inch.
Yeah, that's... But that was my thought process. Like, oh, I buy the bathroom, and then I can put a little pillow in there and be like, yeah. And but, yeah, it's a wild thing buying an airplane. And one thing that's so funny to me is I was sitting there going, like, I'm going for a wedding. And I go, I had to check the dates, like, five times because there's no refund. They tell you, like, over and over, there's no refund. There's no. I'm like, no, am I stupid, but I clicked the wrong date, and I'm, like, checking and checking because they ask you all these prompts.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't.
It's funny listening to you through something that I do frequently. And I know. Like, I just don't get this.
It's just funny to me. And then I was like, I wonder how many people select the wrong dates, like by a day or two. You know?
I don't know. Quick hit here at the end of the show. Were you aware in 1974 that an employee at Disneyland dressed as Winnie the Pooh was accused of hitting a child and took the stand dressed as Winnie the Pooh?
Well, you can identify as whatever you want.
This was long before identifying was kind of a thing, but basically, they didn't want to reveal the identity to the child and to kind of keep the whole drama of the costume.
But why keep him in the same costume that hit him?
Well, he could also demonstrate that because of his costume, he wasn't able to actually hit the child in the manner that they were describing.
Yeah, with,
but he also couldn't talk, so when they asked him questions, he would just rub his tummy and stomp his foot like Winnie the Pooh character would do.
Get out of here. That's not a real story.
No, it is. It is right, true.
Let's get out of here.
Oh, come on. It says, once in costume, they must stay in costume and in character no matter what. Slipping for even a moment might mean tainting the innocence of a child forever. So they kept Winnie the Pooh in his costume while he testified. He could only use his head for nods, foot stomps, and big swings of his tummy to indicate answers. After Pooh was sworn in, he gave the reporter a quick, affectionate nuzzle. Well, as it turned out, they determined he was innocent, so Pooh lived on.
There you go.
Sorry for a weird, jacked-up show, onesies. This whole thing has been kind of weird, but like I said, next week we have a pre-recorded show. Week after, I'd probably be a week off, and then we will be back in our regular form. Until next time, guys.
Bye.
Bye.